Hi, I'm Edwin.
And I'm Andrew.
Sound the battle cry.
Two men.
15 minutes.
Eternal impact.
Welcome to Text Talk.
For the Lord, gird your armor on, stand firm, everyone. Rest your cause upon.
Happy Wednesday, Edwin.
Happy Wednesday, Andrew.
And if you are hearing this podcast, it means the world did not end during the eclipse last week.
Yeah, and you've actually now known that for several days. But based on when we're actually recording this, it's up in the air.
It is up in the air. And actually, I am wearing my astronomy socks.
You're wearing your astronomy socks.
In anticipation and excitement for the eclipse.
That's awesome.
Because I don't take an eclipse as like the sign of all the end of the world. Oh, that's fun.
I'm wearing my what's up socks.
What's up kitty socks. You got a little cat on there too.
Little cat and little bird. What's up?
What's I look up? At this eclipse as an example of the amazing design of our universe that God has made, because with mathematical precision, they're talking about where you can see this eclipse and for how long you can see this eclipse and over this part of the globe and not that part of the globe. That doesn't happen because the universe comes about by random chaos.
And when people are hearing this, that sounds like old news because it's a week and a half ago. But here's the thing. They already know when the next one's going to occur.
I know it.
That's what's amazing. They can plot it out and say, well, it's not going to happen again for 20 years, but here's where you'll be able to see it.
Here's where you can see it in 20 years.
It's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal. God's amazing. And we're getting a little glimpse, a little taste of all that glory in this apocalypse and this revelation, particularly in chapter 4.
I'm going to read the first six verses of Revelation chapter 4 from the English Standard Version. After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal.
A sea of glass like crystal. We've been talking this week about apocalyptic language, symbolic language. These things represent other realities. We were talking about, God dwells in unapproachable light and how a human being actually is going to be killed to see God and see God in all of his glory.
But John's not killed. So we're not actually seeing all of God's glory.
No, we're not seeing all of God's glory. And we're seeing things in a way communicated that even echo back to previous theophanies, the glimpses of God, such as in Ezekiel and his throne there. And we even made the connection, you made the connection, to God coming down on the mountain and speaking to Moses. And I guess here's what I'm getting with this. In apocalyptic language, we have pictures and symbols of other realities. But as we look at the way God has communicated through time, he has used physical things symbolic of spiritual realities.
I want to catch something. And this only caught my attention because I know how people are using it today in movies and stories. When you say in other realities. So, you take our Marvel fans,
okay,
and they hear other realities, and it's like, oh, yeah, there's quantum realm, and there's all these other realities, and there's all these other timelines. When you talk about other realities, you're not saying that. You're talking about the spiritual reality.
I'm talking about a spiritual reality.
The one reality that we can't see.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. It is real.
Yeah.
You can't see it. The whole deal with an apocalypse is this pulling back of the curtain to allow you to glimpse in at these realities. But in kind of an Inception way, even as we glimpse into these realities, these two are being told to us in signs and symbols.
That's exactly right. And that's the problem, because it's because the true reality, and we learn that in other passages, that the things we can see are temporary, the things that we can't see are eternal.
They're the reality.
That's what's truly real. It is more real than even what seems to be real to us.
There's
with
a
our
real
physical senses.
Insight to this in a book that we don't classify as apocalyptic literature at all.
No.
That's the book of Hebrews.
Yeah. Yeah.
As it begins to teach Christians about types and shadows, about physical patterns representing spiritual reality.
Absolutely. What the Hebrew author does is, again, writing to Hebrew Christians, he calls to mind the tabernacle that Moses built. Here's what he says in Hebrews chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Now, the point in what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister in the holy places. Here it is, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer gift and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this high priest, for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." Here's the pattern that Moses was given. And, you know, we may ask, well, why does that pattern matter at all? Why did God have to tell Moses to make it just like this? Mm-hmm. And that's because what God was doing was having Moses present in a way that the people could experience and see a picture of what is truly real, the heavenly tent, the true tent, the real throne room of God. That's what the tabernacle represented.
Yeah, and that's the key right there. It was a representation. Here's the copy. The physical thing is actually the shadow. The substance is the spiritual. I can't see it, but it's real.
And again, in Hebrews chapter 9, now in verse 23, the Hebrew writer tells us, thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Mm-hmm. Catch this. What a phenomenal statement it is. What he points out is that the earthly shadows, the copies, had to be purified with the sacrifices that the law prescribed.
The blood of bulls and goats.
Now, here's the heavenly tent, and it is purified. I don't think I've ever thought about that, but it points out that this heavenly tent is purified for whatever reason that it needed to be purified by a true sacrifice, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by his blood.
And it may be that purification is necessary to usher in a people, his brethren.
Yes.
That's so we can be there ultimately,
yes,
in the presence of God.
It's really more about the fact that we need to be purified so that we can be there, rather than that there's something impure in heaven.
Correct.
But the point being, here's what I guess what I'm wanting to drive home. This is not, what we're finding in Revelation 4 does not represent the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
The tabernacle represented what we're seeing in Revelation chapter 4.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that we need to see. And so what we see when John gets called up into the throne room of God is a lot of stuff that reminds us. And in fact, let's keep this in mind over the next couple of chapters, because we are seeing what happened with the tabernacle. We are seeing what happened with Mount Sinai, the elders that are called there, the living creatures, the cherubim. We're going to see the people surrounding the throne, just like the camp of Israel surrounded the tabernacle. Mm-hmm. This is why we're going to see some of that picture over the next couple of chapters, because we are seeing the heavenly reality John has been brought into. And I think this is powerful.
Mm-hmm.
This is powerful because he's being brought into the true holy place.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one way that can happen.
Yeah.
That's because Jesus, in his sacrifice, tore down the veil, what would separate it. He is able to come into this because of Jesus. That's the only reason why this works for him.
And even in the vision in Revelation 4 and verse 1 and verse 2, he's invited up there, and it's this voice that he's heard before, the voice as a trumpet. And in Revelation chapter 1, that is the voice of Jesus.
Yeah.
So even in the vision, he's there because Jesus has made it possible. Jesus has called him to that place.
Now, here's the reason we've said a lot here, really, because I wanted to get to this point. There's this really weird picture here now of the seven spirits of God, which, wait a minute, you know, it's already hard enough talking about the Trinity.
Wait a second. What's the weird part?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this was the weird part. Oh, okay, Edwin.
I'm like, okay, now it's weird.
That's
weird.
That's...
Good point. Good point. Now, the reason why
but
I bring that up.
A part of the picture you would like to focus on, perhaps.
Surprising. Here's where it's surprising. It's already hard enough to think about Father, Son, and Spirit, three and one, and the Trinity. Now you're telling me that the Spirit is actually seven spirits? Here's the reason why it's seven spirits, because where are we? We are in the heavenly reality. These are seven torches, mm-hmm. which represent the seven spirits. It's really just representing the Holy Spirit. But do you remember in the tabernacle, there's a lampstand with seven lamps mm-hmm. that are giving light so that the priests, when they come in to do their work within the tabernacle, they are able to see in order to do their work. Yeah. What we now find out is that lampstand represented the Spirit of God. Okay. I think that is a powerful, powerful thing. Makes me, I kind of think, even though this isn't said here, that the bread of the presence is ultimately going to represent, well, the bread of life. Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, the bread of presence is not necessarily brought into this chapter in Revelation 4. But we're seeing the Spirit of God here when we see these, quote, seven spirits. It's a reference to the Holy Spirit, and that's what the lampstand in the tabernacle represented.
Do you get much into the different numbers, not being the literal number, but the numbers themselves have significance?
I think that's true, and I think that's certainly true in apocalyptic literature.
And I'm studying with seven. That is the letter that is, excuse me, the number that is the divine, right?
Divine, complete.
Complete number.
Yes.
Which goes along again with, okay, instead of seven, but the idea of the divine spirit.
So here you've got a divine spirit. You've got the complete, the whole spirit. Here is, again, now I think there is something that helps us see this even more clearly in case somebody thinks that I'm just making some stuff up. But we go back to Zechariah. In Zechariah, and Zechariah is very apocalyptic in many ways on its own. There's two passages in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3, in verses 6 through 10, God is speaking to Joshua, who was the high priest at the time that the second temple mm-hmm. was being
built.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And right in the middle of that, in verse 8, so I'm in Zechariah 3, verse 8, "Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring my servant the branch, mm-hmm. for behold, on the stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes..." And here that could mean facets on this stone, but seven eyes. "I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts. I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day." So the seven eyes, and this really, you know, the problem is it brings so many passages together. In chapter 5 of Revelation, we're going to see the seven eyes or the seven spirits. So here we have this brought up. Then we get into Zechariah chapter 4. In Zechariah chapter 4, he's talking to Zerubbabel, who was the governor mm-hmm. at the time of the building of the second temple.
Right, right.
All right. And so now, as he's talking to Zerubbabel, he's going to talk about, and you've brought this up before, verse 10, "Whoever's despised the day of small things shall mm-hmm. rejoice, and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." Here it is. "These seven are the eyes of the Lord, which range through the whole earth." Mm-hmm. And that's what we hear about the seven spirits. They range through the whole earth. I think Zechariah here gives us a really pointed explanation of what this means, because if we back up in this entire picture of Zechariah 4, he sees the imagery, and when he's asked, "What does this mean?" he says, "I don't know." And then in Zechariah 4, 6, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll become a plain." So here Zerubbabel and Joshua are building the temple of the Lord. And who is it that makes it possible? It is the Spirit
of the Lord,
represented as these seven eyes that range to and fro throughout the earth. So then when we get to Revelation chapter 1, chapter 2, I think it's mentioned, chapter 4 and chapter 5, what we're seeing is a picture of the Spirit of God who ranges to and fro. Mm-hmm. And it's the
fellowship with the churches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the power by which the temple is built. Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing thing. So here we are coming into the throne room of God. And if I can just say this, and I'm running out of time, and I don't know, I guess we can talk about it in the next 2 days too. But understand, we're seeing, as we pointed out, the heavenly reality. When we worship God, when we pray, when we sing, when we come into his presence, as Ephesians talks about in chapter 2, we have been lifted up to sit in those heavenly places, even though our feet are planted on this terra firma. That's where we are in the spiritual reality. We need to remember that. When we're bowing before God in prayer, this is where this room we're seeing in Revelation 4 is where we are. If the curtain were pulled back, this is where we would be.
Yeah.
I think it's important for us to recognize that.
I think we'll dig into that more Friday even. It is so exciting. We're so glad that you've joined us for Text Talk today. And now let's have a word of prayer. Our great God and Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for Father, Son, for Holy Ghost, for all that they have done together for our redemption. We look forward to the day that we might see you in your full glory, having glorious resurrection bodies to be like Christ, who is glorified forevermore. Lord, we ask that you might keep us, guide us, guard us, help us to have a sense of what is real. It may not be seen, but it is real. We trust you and we walk by faith to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for talking about the text with us today. I'm Edwin Crozier, and I'd like to invite you to join the Christians who meet on Livingston Avenue in Lutz, Florida this Sunday for our Bible classes and worship. You can find out more at christiansmeethere.org. Check out our daily written devotional that goes along with today's episode. You can find a link for it in our show notes. Michael Eldridge sang all four parts of our theme song. You can get more from him at acapeldridge.com. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review Text Talk in your favorite podcast app so others can find it and learn about it more easily. Have a fantastic day.
Steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna. Christ is captain of the mighty throne.